the animal kingdom of the African savanna, at least all those as far as the eye can see from Pride Rock, have gathered around the sacred rock in their own magnificent outdoor temple to welcome their newborn king to be. A glorious, magnificent spectacle of bright colors and rich sounds, music, and heart-filling fanfare as only Disney can create. From the pythons to the zebras, the giraffes and the elephants with their elephant tusks carrying various birds who are catching a lift. From gazelles to cheetahs to aardvarks and wildebeests, even the busy work till you drop leaf-carrying ants, all the kingdom are gathering round. And as animals great and small, short and tall, continue to pour in from all corners of the kingdom, we see the proud father, King Mufasa, and his elegant wife, Queen Sarabi. They are both tired, as parents of a newborn usually are. Yet they are also dutiful and obedient. And so they have arranged for the old, wise, if somewhat eccentric baboon shaman who lives in the baobab tree, you know, the one who dances like he has ants in his pants, Rafiki. They ask Rafiki to come, so Rafiki takes Simba from his adoring parents, cracks open a gourd, and marks the royal babe on his forehead with red fruit pulp and some dust of the earth, and then carries him to the edge of the precipice, overlooking the entire kingdom, lifting him up to the heavens. You all can see it, you all can hear it. All the animals bowing down their heads and making loud sounds, the elephants blowing their trumpeting trunks, and the zebras whinnying like horses, as Elton John croons his glorious voice in the background. The entire kingdom bearing joyful witness to the arrival of their new king, their savior, the one who will lead them from any darkness into light. The scene that unfolds for us in today's gospel story from Luke is also a story of dedication, presentation, celebration, of a newborn life lifted to the heavens to the service and glory of God. There are similarities, to be sure. There is that baby, that precious one, that chosen one, lifted up, as it were, in the temple. His proud parents are there too, dutiful and devout as well. But unlike the king and queen of Pride Rock, these are poor folks, hardly royalty, and they are tired not only because they are parents of a newborn, but they have made a long and tiresome trek to Jerusalem to observe the Hebrew tradition of dedicating their firstborn son on the 40th day of his life to the service of God and God's kingdom. And we know they're poor because instead of offering a lamb as their sacrifice, as wealthier people did, they can only give two pigeons or turtle doves, as it says in scripture. Aside from the young couple and their babe, and whoever the temple priest holy man Rafiki on duty was that day, the only other witnesses to this event, far from the entire gathered kingdom, are an elderly man and an elderly woman. We hear about Simeon. Simeon, who, when he woke up that morning and was getting out of bed, did not know that he was going to end up in the temple on that day to see with his own eyes the promise fulfilled that he had heard, that he would not die before he saw with his own eyes the chosen one, the Messiah, the Savior of his people. And so Simeon woke up that day, as any other day, led by the Spirit to be at that place in that time. And then there's Anna. Anna, 84-year-old Anna, who, unlike Simeon, Anna has been at the temple all day long, all night long. She's a fixture in the temple. And she too sees and understands and speaks forth what an extraordinary event is happening. Two stories of dedication, recognition, celebration. Disney's mythic telling of the Lion King on one hand, Luke's telling of the Messiah, the Savior of his people, the Savior of the world, from our sacred Christian scripture on the other. Two kingdoms waiting for salvation, for liberation. One, an animal kingdom that enters a period of devastation unlike any they had experienced before. The other, a holy people living under the oppression and the suffocation of the Roman Empire. One dedication, grand and mythical in proportion, for all the kingdom to see, the other quiet and unassuming, regular and ordinary, its extraordinariness only understood and seen by two elderly people with eyes to see and ears to hear. One king a lion, the other king a lamb. And yet, at the heart of both tellings is the truth that in every place and in every time and in every generation, kings and queens, princes and princesses, children of the living God, are being born. But if and how they and our light shine also so often depends on the communities, or lack thereof, that are built around them. Do we lift our children and our youth up? Are they raised and given the opportunity to shine forth their glory, the glory of God that is in each of us and all of us? And do we, as adults, young adults, adults in every time and place, with whatever station we've been given in life, whatever positions we hold, do we use who we are and what we have to shine forth God's glory as uniquely we can? Whether we are mother or father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandparents, an accountant, teacher, friend, lawyer, a neighborhood resident standing up against racism, a woman on a bus named Rosa saying no more. Do each of us, in the station of life that we live, where we are, do we shine forth the light of our Creator, whatever darkness is around us? The year is 1878. The place, Baler, in the district of El Principe, now known as Aurora, on one of the 7,000-plus Philippine islands that were then still under Spanish rule. The proud father is Lucio Quezon, a retired sergeant of the Spanish Colonial Army, who then became a primary school teacher who taught Spanish to his students. The proud mother, Maria Dolores, also a primary school teacher. And their newborn babe, Manuel. We can imagine what the sacred ritual around his earthly arrival might have looked like, most likely a Catholic ceremony of baptism. His parents, Lucio and Maria, priest, family members, gathered around a font, babe in arms, the priest marking the sign of the cross on Manuel's forehead. Manuel, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. This young Manuel went on to study at the local public school in his village, established by the Spanish government as part of a free public education system established all across the Philippine Islands. As he grew, he had aspirations to be a lawyer, but then he dropped out of law school to join the Philippine Movement for Independence in 1899, after his father and his brother were murdered. And his career in the military was soon followed by him entering the world of Philippine politics and leadership, And in 1935, it was Manuel, at the helm of the Filipino delegation that traveled to the United States to witness FDR sign the Philippines' new constitution, granting it semi-autonomous Commonwealth status. And it was later that year that Manuel won the first national presidential election of the Philippines. And it was in this role, as president and leader of this new emerging Philippine United Nations, that Manuel found himself in the position to save Jewish asylees fleeing Nazi Germany in the late 1930s and early 1940s. They were seeking refuge, and other countries were closing their doors and saying no, 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 no. Manuel, moved by his heart and his conscience, said yes. If he had had his druthered, he would have issued a million visas to save a million souls. But because of the anti-Semitism that was existing in the Philippine government, that number became less and less and less. In the end, Manuel was able to save 1,300 Jewish asylees who found their way and found welcome and hospitality in the Philippines. And their descendants number over 11,000 people today. Another man named Noel, Sonny Izon, happened upon this story over a decade ago. Sonny is a filmmaker, a documentary filmmaker who lives here in Maryland. And through fits and starts, fundraising, having to stop because he didn't have enough money, and then starting again and persevering on his desire to tell this story wide and broad, he has succeeded in completing his film, Sonny has. He presented it to the UN just a few days ago. And David and I had the honor and pleasure of continuing having this conversation with him so that we can host the film here in collaboration with our sisters and brothers at Bolton Street Synagogue. A woman who appears in this documentary film talks about the Talmud and a saying in the Talmud that whoever saves a life, it is considered as if he saved an entire world. And from the Gospel of Matthew, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So whoever you are, whatever your station in life, how is it that you can shine God's light out into the world? Amen.